Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to our blessings of Christ today. And he most surely is with us. So just take a deep breath, pour it out with love, and say thank you. Let us just hold that spirit of gratitude that throughout this, from within this vast universe, there is a way that we can connect and be together across the country and even the globe on Sundays. And from inside and within the heart of God, he can reach us all and be with us, among us all. And he says in the scripture, in the Gospels, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. So thank you, my Lord, for being here, for loving us and caring for our life so much that you're here. And we extend our gratitude that others are here with us, even though perhaps they couldn't be on the call, or perhaps they don't even know about it, but they're seeking a blessing and they show up. So we say welcome to everyone. This is not a closed group. This is not a closed membership group. This is anyone who loves Christ, or even would like to love Christ if they knew him better, or wants to be with those who do in receiving more abundant blessings from the art of living. And Nancy, thank you so much for being here. I know you've got another family event today, and we're glad that we can include all of them in our blessing, and you can spend a little time with us.
Thank you. I'm just so delighted to be here. It is just a perfect day and a perfect moment to be together, and I can feel everybody's love and energy, so it's going to be a great call and a great blessing today. And yes, we're having another family gathering. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. Well, isn't it wonderful? I mean,
it is.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you are being rewarded from the love of your life.
Oh, thank you. I think my love is definitely united with this family wonder and family gatherings and all these little ones. They're pretty precious. So, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here, Glenda. You're just so wonderful just to always show up for us. And, you know, we hear your love and we feel your energy, and we know you give up this time every week for us, and we are truly blessed. And I just wanted to say thank you, thank you. So.
Oh, well, you are welcome. Everyone is so welcome, because it's the joy of my life to build a bridge, because there's so many people that want to know him, want to love him and reach, and don't quite know how. Maybe they have heard descriptions of his message, descriptions of him that don't quite agree with what they think. You know, we are in an age right now where we are pretty immersed into theology. And see, this was the problem he was born into in Jerusalem, the heart of the Jewish land, the homeland, the ancient land. And there wasn't too much. Well, there wasn't enough, let's put it that way, inspiration from new prophets, new teachers, new blood coming in. And so the scholars and the priests, which pretty much included the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and by the way, you know, they get a really bad call on them from Christians through the ages, who hated them because they crucified Yeshua. And that's a good reason to hate somebody. But I'm going to use that as a pivotal point for why maybe we shouldn't judge, why our judgments are almost never wrong, never right. I meant to say they're always wrong and never right. Well, see, I want to describe to you the Pharisees. They were not bad people. Actually, they were the moral of the moral, who studied the sacred law, who prayed in the temple, who obeyed every one of God's commandments. And they taught them, and they taught the young people, and they really worked hard to create a civilization that reflected God's love and God's law. All right. Now, what's wrong with that, you might think? Okay. Well, nothing, except for the fact that they had lost touch with God. And this is what was allowing the background of life around the Israelites, around the Jews, and in the many different peoples from different lands that were part of the whole congregation of thought, behavior, and belief in Jerusalem at that time. Just about anything you could find there. It was really the New York City of the day. You know, you go, especially, I don't even want to compare it to today because it's so radical. But through the days that I have known it and lived there and had a great time there, it was the most diversified city in the United States. Okay, well, now getting back to the point of what we're talking about, there was a lot of judgment. And especially now that Rome occupied Jerusalem. So we had to deal with Rome in addition to everything else. And the Pharisees were doing their best to try and keep Jerusalem coherent to the law and the tradition, the worship and the philosophy of their people. And there were Yeshua was not the only one to walk the streets and preach a little outside the box. Of course, he was the unique one, the special one, who was actually sent by God. But still, from the standpoint of the Pharisees, they didn't know. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it for a bit, and they were ready to cast him out to make an example of him. And, of course, they were declaring him to be evil, sent by the devil, evil, evil, evil. And then in the midst of all that, Peter asked Yeshua on several occasions about forgiveness. And we've covered that a little bit, not as far in depth as we might in the future. So whatever I say today, just keep it in mind and bring it forward when we get back to that subject. But he basically told, he asked Yeshua, well, how many times should we forgive? 70 times 7? And Yeshua said, no. Basically, he gave him a number that was endless. And so Peter said, so we always forgive. And Yeshua basically said, you got it. That's it. In other words, forgiveness should be incorporated as a way of life, not just an event that we're going to get over and reconcile with someone about. Now, in all the teachings, there was never a follow-up that said, and you've got to get back with this person what you had before something was revealed and you judged it. Never did Yeshua say, now you got to go repair and bring it back to the old way. Yeshua basically taught, you get over it. You let go of the pain And you just release the memory of what happened. And let's just look at this word, forgive. It's for gifting. In other words, it is our expression of grace. God has been gracious to us. He has endlessly forgiven us of things we didn't even know we did wrong, because he loves us like a father loves a child. We couldn't survive except that we were in the grace of God. For us, that state of living, way of life, forgiving, is our way of being gracious. Now, that doesn't mean you also must become a fool and not learn from what happened. Life is an ongoing process of learning. You may have learned that that isn't a person you should be working with. It's just he needs, or she needs to go find somebody more appropriate to them, more compatible, that can help them along the way. We need to let ourselves be free so we make better choices. And I think the only way of really getting to the bottom of all of this is to go to, oh, by the way, in one of the best treatments of forgiving and not forgiving in Love Without End is the chapter about the one spirit, because it gave me an occasion to bring up questions to Yeshua, whom we were talking about. Well, if we're all one spirit, why do we hurt one another? And why is there evil? If it was all created by God, and why can't we judge? Why can't we? Because we see things that are wrong, and why can't we just call it out and say it's wrong? Well, Yeshua said, of course you can, but I'd like you to view it a different way. So I'm going to get to some of that today, and then we're going to fast forward a little bit into Jesus on Science. So we're going to do some skipping about today, and I'll let you know what chapter I'm in, but we're going to go back to the one spirit for just a little quick jaunt. And this is where he's saying, in the beginning, there was no evil. None. There was only good. And I looked kind of amazed. I said, well, doesn't the Bible talk about good and evil being kind of a contest that we have to make choices about? And he said, sure, you have to, but that doesn't mean it was back there in the beginning, before you were walking on this earth. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, go read in the book of Genesis. The Creator examined everything he created, and he said, and this is good. He didn't take a look at it and said, this is good. But now, over there, there's evil stuff. You stay away from that. He didn't say that, because there was no one or nothing else to direct you toward or away from. He just pronounced, it's good. And I said, well, yeah, I just hadn't quite read that right. And he said, okay, now just remember it that way. Now, so you come along in the world, and you're given free will, so that you can learn from your experiences, because your Father, your Creator, wants you to be strong. He wants you to know for yourself what's good and what isn't so good. And see, even then, I'm not going to talk about evil. It's in the world, yes. Big time, it's in the world. And every now and then, it just has to be fleshed out. But see, here's the thing. Goodness creates. Evil destroys. There's the difference. Which means it couldn't have been at the beginning of creation, because it was only creation. Therefore, only goodness. Goodness creates. Evil destroys. Now, as you go through living, you get to choose what is going to be destructive or constructive. What will benefit your life, your heart, your state of mind, and what won't benefit it. And most of the time, that's all that's really involved, is you take a look at what's going to produce the results you want and what's not going to produce. And you're, most of the time, you're not even looking at good and evil. He said, now, you know, he says, Glenda, you don't live in an urban crime district where you have to decide on every street you walk down whether your life is safe or about to be harmed. He said you were born into a very sweet, loving family in a very productive, wholesome, and supportive community. The only thing you've had, he's talking to me now, you've had to decide about is good, better, or best, really, or maybe just waste of time. We could put that on the scale because you've had some opportunities to choose that too. And so you may decide something's just a waste of time and you shrug it off and you get onto something that's more worth your time. But as you go along in life, you're making choices and some of them are going to work better than others. And it's very important to me, he was referring to himself, and your father, that you make the best choices. And so he said, I want to help you with that. And I'm going to teach you about, we're going to take a look at some of these trees in the orchards. And he said, I'm going to pick one that has been, it's been pampered. He said, I guess at some point in time, maybe it had a reason for being pampered. Maybe it was one of the first in the orchard, and the owner just always took care of it to remember when the orchard was started. He said, it's got a huge trunk here, but all it's ever produced is that trunk and the limbs. It's never produced any fruits. And I said, okay, so what do we do? And he said, well, I'm gonna command that tree to produce. We're going to give it a year. And we're going to come back and we're going to look at it. I said, well, okay. I don't think it's going to take a year for me to paint this painting, but I know you're going to be here with me. And he said, all right, you got that right. And I'm just going to tell you what I did with the apostles, because I did come back, and they came back, and I brought them back. And we saw that fig tree had not produced any fruit. I said, well, you commanded it, you fed it, why? And he said, well, take a look at the trunk. It got a little fatter. Because I could look at the limbs. It put out a few more limbs. I said, that's right. Okay, he says, well, it was fed, it was nourished, but all it did with that was prosper itself. It just built its own trunk, its own limbs. It took care of itself and nothing else back. It gave back nothing to the source that nourished it. It only just took and kept. That tree is a taker. It wouldn't know how to, it not only would it not know how to give, it wouldn't want to give because it wouldn't want to lose any nourishment that's available. And he said to the apostles, let's cut it down. And they shrieked, like, it's a monument. We can't do that. It's a tribute to the orchard. No, we can't do that. And Yeshua said, cut it down. And use the water and the nourishment and the fertilizer to feed the trees that are producing. Because production is goodness. And then he went on to teach them something, a long and very, very frequently quoted passage that gets a little off the fig tree, but it stays on the same basic message. And what it is that he was getting to is that goodness produces, and evil comes about not directly. You don't even know when it's starting to happen. You just made a choice that was not productive. And you didn't examine it. You didn't revise it. You just thought, well, but it's kind of nice. What the heck? You know, it's nice to have a big old tree at the end of the orchard. You didn't notice it. And you didn't actually notice that the root system of that tree was taking away water from the productive trees and soil nourishment from the productive trees. It was just taking care of itself. That's all it was doing. And Yeshua said to the apostles, basically in his words, and I would have to get my Bible out to read it to you exactly, but I kind of like to tell it to you in my words, because if I make a mistake, we can correct it. And I've got an answer to my mistakes. And nothing he said was a mistake, but I don't always get it right. Okay. And that's the operative word here. Okay. We make our choices, but we don't always get it right. But we want to be right. We want to be right. We don't want to ever be wrong. This is why we keep doing the same doggone thing. Okay? We think, well, okay, it was just a bad year. You know, it must have been the drought. Must have been this, must have been that. And I love that old tree. And I've been saying hello to it every year of my life. All right, so we've got reasons now. But you don't want to change your mind. You don't want to not be right. This is the thing. We want to keep investing in what we've invested in because we don't want to disappoint systems or people or ways of life that have depended upon our support, but they're not productive. And we don't want to cut it out. We don't want to say, well, that tree's got to come down, because we've got to feed the trees that are productive. And so he was actually teaching the apostles how evil came about in the universe. And we were a contributing cause to it, not because we are evil, but because we're not managing life the way God told us to manage it. He told us to continue reviewing and revising our actions and making better choices later this year, next year, and down the road, to make better choices that serve us and other people more fully, wisely, and for a better future. So we have to keep things moving. And for lack of revision, things become stagnant. I don't know if you've ever had an occasion to walk by a stagnant pond, but back in my youth, they were there because we didn't have all of the navigation levels and systems worked out in my youth, I remember when I was, it was back in the 1950s, there were lots and lots of damming. And I mean the good kind of damming, like damming of water. They put several progressive dams in the Brazos River and created five beautiful lakes. The same in the Trinity River, and created just a progression of lakes there as well. And it's an interesting one of the objections. This will bring a point to what I'm saying. One of the objections to damming up the Trinity River that people raised was, well, it's the only river we've got that's navigable all the way to the Gulf Coast. Those are the opponents of doing it. And the proponents said, yes, it's true, but only with canoes. And you're going to continue letting villages be flooded out, people being killed and their homes being washed under, so that canoes can float all the way to the Gulf of Mexico? Well, the opponents lost, and it's a good thing they lost. And along the way, these stagnant pools were breeding mosquitoes like crazy. So damming it up, creating the lakes, solved the mosquito problems, it solved the flooding problems, and it created some beautiful recreational areas and parkland and home village, well, domestic homes for villages all the way along the river from the north of Texas to the Gulf. So it was a very, very constructive thing. And yes, at one point in time, when the Cherokees were here, they did navigate it all the way to the Gulf. But they also maintained the banks of the river. They dredged out the high rises in the river. And it was part of their ecological system. So it served a purpose. It did good work for good reasons. And then it became a zone of countless and repeatable horrors and dreads and floods and washouts and destruction to property and people. So it had to be reconstructed. And rivers all over the Texas were reconstructed. And now we have some of the most beautiful lakes in the Austin area that have attracted many, many migrants from other states who thought they had the most beautiful state in the United States. And now they're taking a second look at Texas and going, wow, we didn't know it was that beautiful. So, you know, following the line of production, you get goodness. This is all God did. God started with the plan, the word, and he proclaimed it. He didn't control it. And this is an opportunity to discuss how he makes a very big distinction between control and command. You know, all he had to do is say, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't have to go out and manipulate the quantum particles, the photons, the electrons, and said, okay, now start shining, and then conglomerate a few more, and it said, well, start shining. He didn't have to do that. He just said, he commanded, let there be light, and there was light. And all the way through is an illustration of what command can do. I was looking for a quote in the book of Matthew before we started, and it was such a great illustration of this. So I'm going to have to paraphrase this too. If I think about it before we're done, I'll give you the chapter and verse. This is one of the times when Yeshua, he was in Jerusalem, and the Romans were everywhere, and also the Jews that were following him, and a lot of Gentiles too following him. Actually, among the other people in the region, the Greeks followed him and loved him, because even though the Greeks had multiple gods, they were ethical and logical people, and they liked to hear about systems that worked. And the way Yeshua taught the creation and the manage the ethics of the universe, they could really enjoy and reflect on the fact that he was talking about how to make things work better. So he had a large following of Greeks, which is why one of the most important translations ever done of the Gospels was into Greek. That's we'll cover that in another session. I want to stick to the point here. So there were all kinds of people hovering around him, and he began to talk about faith. And mainly the Jews were asking, well, what do you mean by faith? And he said, to believe, though you don't yet see. To give credit to God and divine understanding, even though you don't yet understand. And a Roman soldier, a centurion, which meant he was the captain of 100 men. Okay, he came up to Yeshua and he said, I've got a soldier who's really ailing, very, very sickly, and he may die. And he said, now I know you're busy and I'm reluctant to, this centurion was being very polite and appreciative. I love that in him. Anyway, and he said, I don't want to take you from your message, and I know you don't want to leave to come and see him and touch him as you do so many people. But he said, I also know that you give commands, and the command is done. He said, can you just command that my soldier be healed? And he said, I won't take you away from what you're doing. Just command. He said, I know that you do this. Can you do it for him? And he said, I really, really respect you that you ask and you know you will receive. And yes, I can command him healed. And he was. And then he turned it around to a message to the to his followers, and he said, God is no respecter of person. In the way of his own laws. Scott. Hey, Scott just sent me that message. Thank you, Scott. I will give it to everyone else. Yeah, it is. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. And so he is, you can look it up for yourself, but basically Yeshua is just very respectful of the centurion and acknowledged his faith in the right of Yeshua's ability to command. He had heard stories of Yeshua commanding the storm. He didn't go out and have to sit in the middle of the storm. He commanded demons out of lepers, and they left. He had seen this done, and he believed. And Yeshua he turned it into a lesson for everybody. And it's such a beautiful event, and I just love that passage. So thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Okay, that might be a really, really good role for you to have on these calls, because I know you're proficient in your reading, and sometimes I just get a thought on the spur of the moment and don't want to move away from my presentation to go look it up. I have read all this hundreds of times, but I don't memorize those numbers. It's just not the way my mind works. I tend to want to go to the truth and hang on the truth and just be with Yeshua and look it up later. I'm sorry. You don't have a pastor who knows all her numbers, but I do sure hang on to what Yeshua said. And that takes me to the next thing that I want to talk about, which is we've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about how evil comes about, and it comes about slowly. And so we don't know. You know, you could say, well, this person is evil. And in some cases, you might be right. But you don't know how their condition evolved. This person might have been born in a war zone where nobody was kind to anybody else. And hatred was the breath of life. It's what kept you alive, was not to love the right person, but to hate the person you needed to hate. You grew up that way. And the person would not be evil if they were making the right decision. But we cannot stand. I think the thing so many people, have you noticed, just think about in your life, so many people hate more than anything else is to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong, so they can't change what they're doing. Now, this brings us to why we just need to forgive, because we don't know either. And it brings to mind, with a spirit of grace and humility, the fact that we also might have done a lot of things wrong and not known it. We were just doing it in the spirit of what we were told to do, what conditions seemed to suggest would be our best course of action, and would also get approval from people on our team. Because after all, our team was opposing the other team. And we thought like that. We thought like that. And so, but it doesn't mean that we have to approve of what they did, because then, let's keep this in mind. Now that we're looking at evil being a sequence of wrong choices, if you just go do what they did, then you're making a wrong choice too. And you're patting yourself on the back. Well, maybe I should just go along with it. No. There was something right about the judgment you made, just not everything. There was something right and something you need to forgive. This is why the Lord's Prayer said to God, forgive us our trespasses as we give those of another. It's always a mixed cup of soup. Always. We don't always know what we're doing. And there is this great in-between zone where we're trying to figure out how to live with one another. One of the places to start is just cutting down on the stress of everyday life. You know, somebody cuts in front of you in traffic, and it was dangerous because you were both going very high speed. And then alongside on the right-hand side, a little speed demon came beside you in a Harley with the muffler roaring turned off, sounding like an airplane was going by you to distract you when the other car came in front of you. And it was a little piece of danger. Well, we might be tempted to give the finger to a couple of people, but why not instead give a prayer to God that your life was saved? And then give an acknowledgement to these two people that thank goodness, in spite of you being dangerous, terrible drivers, you were good enough at handling your vehicle that we all got out of this alive. So thank you for that. And then moving on. You can acknowledge where something, and you should acknowledge where something is wrong, but don't hang on to it, because it will encourage you to make the same decision again when it might not be the right decision. There's room and importance for discernment in everything. We're here to learn to make the best choices we can. And as we make better choices, your life's going to get better. You know? And it's kind of like we're inside this big ice cream pie. Where on the one side of it, with these lovely vanilla crackers, everything was good. Inside the middle of it is marble ice cream, where we don't even know where to take a bite. So we just need to enjoy the fact that it's cold and sweet. And move on. And then on the other side of that ice cream pie, we're going to come to some more vanilla crackers. And we're going to see it again. That, you know, good is the only thing that we get out of this. We get out of this and we're good. Good is going to become good again. And in the middle, we've got good and not so good. And I don't know what this is. I'll make the best of it. I'm going to do the best I can to eliminate the stress. And I'm going to enjoy the ride if it's possible. And if that's not quite possible, I'm going to help my loved ones enjoy the ride with me. And we're going to have a better time of it together. That's what Yeshua was teaching everybody to do. He taught people about the holiness, the greatness, the perfection of God. And then he taught them about the kingdom of heaven, which would prevail. And in the meantime, the only place you're going to find it is in your heart. That's it. You're not going to find it out there. Just as soon as you find something that looks good and wonderful, well, you're going to probably have a grumpy neighbor move in. And then you're going to have to weigh and measure the consequences of, do I speak up or do I just put drapes on the window on that side of my house and build my patio on the other side of my house? Well, you make the decision. But here's the thing. You don't control everything. In fact, you don't even control everything about your life. But it's a good thing to start. Just take a look at what things you can control. You can control your attitude. You can control the way you spend your time. You can control the directions your mind goes in. You can control the people you choose to spend time with. And that's not a judgment. Not in the way that Yeshua was talking about judgment. He was talking about condemnation. You don't have the right to condemn another person. You have a right, if possible, to gain more understanding of them And maybe, possibly, that understanding will create the ability to be neighbors with them, and maybe even productive neighbors with them. It's possible. And the more we do that, the better our life becomes. So, yes, we have the right to control situations, but you do not have a right to control them. You don't. And they don't have the right to control you. This is what starts wars. Some people, some factions, some belief systems are not content to let anyone else have a different belief or ideology or ideal. And they don't want to tolerate it. Well, that's okay to not tolerate it in your life. It's okay. It's okay to, you know, just set your congregation of friends and believers together, and you celebrate as you want to celebrate. And all, there's only one thing you can insist on. We find a way to get along. And you have a right to insist on that. Then if meanness prevails, sometimes it takes a retaliation to show them what meanness really looks like. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that either. Mahatma Gandhi showed a lot of people, the English most especially, that peace rules. And those who abide in peace rule. Yeshua spoke this in his Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God, which means they rule. They rule. You could be in an argument and try this sometimes. Just decide to say nothing. Decide to be quiet. You don't have to argue back. And if you want to respond in a way that's not a perfect agreement, because you don't want, you know, you are not in agreement with the person, so you're not going to be in perfect agreement. You can say, well, I see this differently, but I don't think this is really the right time to have that conversation. So I'll just listen to you. Okay? You can let it be known. You have a right to be who you are, to be the love that you are. You can express who you are. You don't have to cower and give in to a bully. Just be quiet. And if someone says, well, what do you have to say? And you can say, well, I have a lot to say, but I don't think you want to hear it. So we'll get together another time, and maybe I'll be the one that talks. Just let it go. Sweep it away. You don't have to be in a fight. You don't have to be in an argument. But you can be true to your own values. You can be true to your own principles, to what you know to be right, because that is the heaven within you. And no one can take that from you unless you allow them to. And so holding your peace is very important. I had a brief conversation with Yeshua this morning that made me laugh. And so because it made me laugh, I didn't go any further. I was thinking that I have actually been in kind of a stress toxic zone resulting from the last 2 months of combating, not fighting, but withstanding, shall we say, a lot of hostile actions against me, our church, the work we do, and so forth. And I realized it had actually affected my health. And I said to Yeshua, is there such a thing as toxic stress? He smiled. I didn't see him, but I could tell he was smiling. And he said, well, there's all different levels of stress. And he said, sometimes it's kind of healthy because it stimulates you to do something about a situation you should handle. And then he said, there's other levels of stress that are really bad, and you should handle them before it comes into conflict. And I said, well, what should I do? He said, well, I can tell you what I did. I went to the desert. It made me laugh because it was right in front of my eyes, and I could just imagine the level of stress he was under. And I said, well, you can do anything. Why did it cause so much stress for you? And he said, well, you may not realize this, but I was pretty much between a rock and a hard place most of my life, because I came here to fulfill the will of my Father. But also, I needed to do it by respecting the capacity for humans to learn from their mistakes, to get over their separation, to seek for a better life, and to seek to know God. And I said, well, can you tell me how this played out for you? And he said, well, every day of my life, but, you know, here's one example that happened before I left for the desert. And he said, I was walking through the streets of a busy city. And I was being pressed upon to heal. Can you heal me? I'm dying. Can you save me? And then others, Pharisees and others, asking me to explain something I'd said when it disagrees with the Torah. And he said, I didn't want to hold that position. And he said, I couldn't heal. Well, literally, I could not heal everybody at that point. And that may seem like a disavowal of my ability to you, but it really wasn't. Because you cannot heal someone who will not receive. And he said, most of the people who came to me and asked wanted to be healed, but without receiving me or my love or the love of God or the truth of God. They wanted to be healed mechanically, as a physician tries to heal but usually fails. They wanted to keep their boundary up, their barrier up. They had no faith. They had no spiritual foundation, but they just wanted to be healed. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't set them up for failure at the exposure of conflict within my soul about my time had not yet come to heal all of humanity, which I would do on the cross. But daily, so many people wanted to judge me without being willing to learn. They wanted to hear me, but only wanted to hold to the lies they were steadfastly attached to. And I was sitting between that conflict, and that caused immense stress for me. And so I went to the desert to pray and to fast and to let go of all of this stress. on the night of my prayer in Gethsemane. I stressed until I bled tears of blood. So yes, my dear, I stressed. You are not alone in that. And I said, well, so what do you do? And he said, you find peace within yourself, which is the only place you can find it, except in prayer. And go very light on your diet. Drink, and don't eat anything that would challenge your digestion. Fast if you can. If you can't, just go simple on what you take into your body. Be with nature and let its energy bathe you in the fact that it was created by your creator, and it knows how to find the sweet spot within you and the bliss within you. So I wanted to bring that up and let you have a little piece of that conversation, because I want you to know that everything you've been through, he went through also. Everything. You look to him for answers because he's got them. He handled everything. He handled liars. He handled manipulators. He handled dressmongers. He handled cheaters. He handled people who live their whole life in judgment. And he knew exactly how to redirect it back to them. Like he said to the men throwing stones at the adulteress. And which one among you has never sinned? Well, he knew what to do. You can learn. Everything you need to learn, it's actually in the scriptures. It's there. Read it. Study it. Just don't let yourself become a Pharisee. And we got a lot of Christian Pharisees in the world where they think it only comes from that book. And if it's not in that book, you don't do it. It comes from God. It comes from Yeshua. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity working together. And it can come from your best friends or any other human who loves you. We were taught to love one another. And when Paul was asked from his congregation about How do we confess our sins? And he said, do it to one another. It will humble you. In other words, be real. Be really real about who you are. And be sure to include in that reality the best version of who you are. The version of you that wakes up and says, thank you, God, for a new day. The version of you that asks forgiveness. The version of you that expresses gratitude and shares gratitude with other people. Because in giving, we are forgiven. In giving, we let go of our judgments. In letting go of our judgments, we are less likely to make a judgment ourselves. It's all about learning to be real. And yes, I do read the scriptures, but I don't recite the chapter and verse first. I take a look at what Yeshua has taught me, the Holy Spirit has taught me. my Father God has taught me in my prayers, in my meditations, in the searching of my heart, and what I find in the treasure of my heart when I remember to go there and shake off the stress of the day. Well, Nancy, it is time that we broke away from this message that I love to bring everybody every Sunday, but we need to get ready for receiving a blessing. Are you still there, Nancy?
I am here. What a beautiful message. I'm just feeling closer to him, just hearing you talk about his life like that and just the stress. It just connects us all. So thank you, Glenda. That was just beautiful.
That's it. It's the reality. He came here to share every single reality with us. So why should we eliminate stress? Yep, he had it. And why wouldn't he have it? Huh?
If he came here, he's got it.
That's right. It began the moment you were born. And that's what the devil tried to exploit. He tried to say, hey, look, buddy, you can get out of this stress. You know how to get out of this stress. Why don't you do it? You could rule the world, make it all right. Why do you have to be here doing what you're doing? And he says, because I have to make it real to everybody that our Creator, God, the Creator of this universe, is here. He's with you. He never separated. He never left you. And he's not going to leave me. So get out of here. I mean, he really did give the riot act to the devil a few times. Gave the boot. I guess that's a better way to say it. The boot. So anyway.
Well, we don't have any callers today. That's unusual, but it's just the way today is meant to be. So,
let's just put it on Q&A. And so this way, we've got a little more time to just relax, release, and get ready to receive. And I know you've got a birthday party you need to be. So
I've been here, and I've been just really enjoying this so much. So, but yes, perfect time for us to come together for this beautiful blessing. So thank you.
Well, yeah. So I was thinking it might be a perfect time for you to go to your party. But,
yeah. I might hang in here a few more minutes, and then absolutely I can hear the murmurings and things going on. But I will get us.
Okay.
Let me get us into. I'll get us into lecture mode, and we'll
good.
Connect with each.
Okay, welcome everyone to our spiritual gymnasium. We're going to get things moving. And, before I came to this call today, I said, Yeshua, you haven't told me yet what we're going to talk about. Don't you have some instructions for me? And he said, you'll figure it out as you go along. We're just going to touch on a lot of things today because we just need to highlight every part of life. The good, the stressful, the bad, the why it's not good, judgment, illusion. You know, let's just touch a little bit on everything. So he basically told me, do a salad bar today. And that's what I set out to do, is just remember some of my favorite teachings, put them together, hopefully in a way that all came together and made sense to you. Now, we're going to do the same thing with our precious little bodies. We're going to stretch them. Whatever position you're in, you probably stayed in that position for a long time. You might have gotten a little bit stiff. And as my old daddy would say, stove up. That's what the old pioneers said, because every spring and even a few times in the winter, they had to take down they heated their little cabin from one stove, and the stove pipe went to the roof, but it would build up with soot. So they would have to disassemble that pipe and knock the soot out and clear it up for springtime. And so they just came up with a word they used for everything when they got just kind of too fixated in one position and said, well, you know, I've sat here too long, it got stove up. So coming from a pioneer family, you might hear a few things like that come from me, because I really don't want to shake it off too much. I enjoy my heritage, but I enjoy my future even more. So we're going to put it all together. Today is a salad bar, past, present, future, veggies, fish, sweets, and crackers. All of it, salad and crackers. Okay, we're going to do everything. So I want you to start by taking a really deep breath. Fill your lungs. This time we're going to go to the lungs. Just fill it up. Push your diaphragm down and your ribs out and hold it for maybe a couple of seconds. Not enough time to stretch, but enough time to keep filling it. Yeah, you can get a couple more. Yeah, there you go. Okay, now, we're not going to blow it out. Let's start releasing it. Just release it. Control it. Restrain it so that you can experience the release. And you can appreciate the gift you're giving back into life. You take and now you give. Going to give back. Okay, now we're going to take a deep breath again, but this time we're going to take it up to your sinuses. Going to breathe through your nose. Inhale as deeply as you can into your sinuses. You can't really expand them too much, but you can expand the different passageways so you can bring a full load up and fill your sinuses. This is one of the best ways to clear up a sinus infection. Simply oxygen. Oxygen is the great healer. Unfortunately, and ironically, of course, we get our passages swollen, so we can't take it up. But you can do that. You can work on it. Get as much oxygen up as you can. Hold it. And now, let it out slowly, this time through your mouth. Whichever way you inhale, exhale the other way. That way you're covering both of your breathing capacities. So you take it in through your nose. Let it out through your mouth. Now, we should do something a little different than we normally do. I want you to inhale through your mouth. Just like if you were about to cough, you would inhale first. Go ahead, do it. That's it, deep as you can. Okay, that is expanding your throat, and you will heal it from a lot of the mucus you had in it. Now hold it for another second and let it out through your nose in a measured kind of way, giving back. Good. Now, do you feel freshened up? Well, you should, and you will. And you actually stimulated your blood to carry more oxygen into more parts of your body, because you increase the available quantity of oxygen. So enjoy it. And be ready now for some stretching. And that stretching is not just to relax your muscles. Of course, that's important. But we want to start with something simple. Let's just start with your arms, okay? We're going to move your arm. Let's take your right arm. You're going to move it all the way up until it's rising above your head. And feel the stress, the stretch in the muscles of your arm. Okay. Open your hand and grab a piece of air and now close it and make a little fist again and bring that arm down so that you stretch the other side of your arm because you're going to move it behind you, okay, as far as you can, and finish the other part of the stretch. And, of course, you are relaxing those muscles, but you're also bringing more blood into them, which means more oxygen into them, which means more spirit of life into them. All right? Now, we're going to do it with the left hand. We're going to put it to your side, and we're going to move it up. Oh, yeah, feel that stress. Wherever you were tight, you're going to feel the stretch. Oh, yeah, that stretch feels so good. I've been sitting here, too, holding my hand in one and mousing with the other, for sure. Okay, now I'm going to reach for a piece of air, grab it, and clench it in my fist so that I make a nice fist. And I'm going to bring my arm down and move it back well beyond my back as far as I can go because I'm going to stretch the other side of my arm. And then I'm going to let that fist go so that it's totally relaxed. We're going to finish that we're letting both arms be relaxed to our side, and we're going to move our shoulders up, kind of like if you were going to shrug, you'd move your shoulders up like, I don't know. Okay, you move your shoulders up. That's it. Now, I want you to feel that stretch you're putting into your rib area, but also the tightness you're creating in your neck area so that you're going to relax something else in just a minute. You're going to now let go of that tightness, and you're going to turn your head to the left, and you're going to turn it to the right, and you're going to tilt it to the left. That's where we're coming back with a stretch. And now you're going to tilt it to the right. Okay. We actually put more stress into this neck shoulder region than any other part of our body. So this is a very, very good little exercise for you to practice daily or even frequently within the day. Now, if you can, I want you to stand up because we're going to continue moving things through our body. If you have a balance issue, then be sure and hold on to the back of a chair, the back of a sofa, or anything around you that you could hold to stabilize your stance. Okay, and now I want you to we're going to do a little side stretch first. I want you to stand with your feet a little bit apart because you'll have better balance that way. And then I want you to swing your hip just a little bit to the right so that you're going to stretch the left leg. And then swing your hip a little bit to the left so you stretch the right leg. This will improve your balance. And then again, one more time, just one more time. Okay, and then back and forth one more time. Now, let's do one step forward, but you're not going to move. You're just going to put one leg forward. And we're not going to do, We're not going to do any kind of knee bend. We're just going to put it forward and lean into it a little bit. Okay. And the other one, bend. Balance yourself. And then bend into it just a little bit. We're not doing anything as strenuous as a lunge. None of that. Now, just, you don't have to. We just want movement. That's all we want to do today. This is, and now standing, I want you to hold your shoulders up, your spine as straight as you can, and I want you to turn it to the right and feel your spine turn. And now I want you to bring it back to the center and feel it turn to the left. Okay? You're stretching everything in your back by doing that. It's just a gentle stretch, not anything that your therapist would be impressed by, but your body is going to release a lot of stored up energy that will move your lymphatics to every part of your body. And it's going to open you up to receive the blessing just a little better. Now I want you to sit down and relax and get ready to receive. I'm going to open with a prayer to Yeshua. And then you're going to follow with your prayer for that which you need. Whatever it is a valid prayer. And he will hear it. He's listening. He is listening to you. He's listening to every emotion you have, to every word you speak, to every intention you're projecting. He hears you. Our wonderful Lord, Son of God, Lord of life, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for caring. We come to you with an open heart, with love, with desire, with our needs and our vulnerability, because we know of all souls that have ever been, you are the one that trusts us, that we can trust, and that miracles will come through. We ask you for attention to our life and to hear our prayer. We place our faith in you. Our heart is open to you. And we express our gratitude for all you have given us in our life and all that we shall receive. We are here simply to be with you. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me in celebrating the blessing and conducting the energy of the Holy Spirit that it may be distributed to every person here and all the people of their life and all the world through them. Amen. Let us begin. your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now, I want you to go and lie down. Lie flat. Bed, floor, sofa, whatever works for you. But make sure your head is not higher than your feet. For in the final stage of this blessing, everything is equal. Everything is blessed. Everything is loved. Be there for at least 7 minutes. And don't even continue your prayer if it's in words. Because words will go straight to your brain. And then you will have hierarchy again. We want literally. I send you into your week to have the finest of experience with life and living. To enjoy your blessings, each one as it's given. And I say goodbye for now. I look forward to seeing you again next week. And always.